Hey, Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 75, Herrera, Esteli, and IPAs. I'm your host, John, the Cigar Surgeon. We're broadcast live around the world. Normally, I'd say on YouTube, but today we're being broadcast live on Blab through CigarFederation.com. Logan will be very happy. No one has to leave the site to watch the show. We, of course, also picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network heard around the world in more countries than I can count. Thanks so much for tuning in wherever you are in the world. I am joined, as always, with my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on, brother?
Just trying to get used to this this newfangled interwebs nonsense. if I've got this window open and the show window open that you guys are watching on, I get pretty wicked John echoing through my ears. And while you were doing that, I was opening the links to the beers that I'm drinking tonight. Gotcha. And so I was just trying to click it really fast so I could close that window and not have to hear you in both of my ears double time. But no, things are good, man. I've got some family in town. My father-in-law's here, and my brother-in-law just completed a cross-country trip. Oh. And managed to get through it without hating each other, which is kind of awesome.
And it is awesome.
My brother-in-law is moving to from North Carolina to San Jose, so he's here to stay. And father-in-law's flying back home in the morning, so. That's all good. And I've already had a few beers today. We went and did a little tasting and nothing to throw the palate off. Not that I have much of a palate to begin with, but some good times. And I've got three good beers here that I'm really excited about. We've got a great cigar, so I'm good to go, man.
As am I. So just as a heads up to our audience, if you want to ask a question, you can obviously type it in, but it might get lost in the live chat. So you always can hit /Q. That's /Q followed by your question, and it'll come up as a question for us, which we'll be happy to answer. So kicking it off, we're talking about the Herrera Esteli. Love this cigar. You, of course, smoking my favorite size, but I'll talk about that in a second. I'm smoking the new hotness, which is the Square Press, the exclusive mall to Corona Cigar Company. Great place. Jeff Borschewitz, owns that. So this is exclusive through his shop. This is the Toro Especial cabinet selection. Runs for about $10 a single. Go down there, check it out. It's interesting, right? It's a full on, you can see that it's like a full square press. It's not a box press. It's a full square press. Uses that tasty Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. And I'm excited to pair with IPAs. What are you? You're smoking a Herrera Esteli, of course.
Yeah, I've got the Herrera Esteli Lonsdale. And when it comes to the HE, I don't screw around. I mean, it's the Lonsdale or No Dale for me.
Right.
But I do like those square presses. Those co exclusives. The trip. We'll get that joke. Let's get the co exclusive going yesterday. But the Corona exclusive sizing is pretty cool. I haven't smoked the Herrera Esteli in that size. I smoked the number 9. I think we did a review on that.
That number 9 was legit.
Yeah, that sizing is pretty sweet. So very cool. But yeah, I'm going with the Lonsdale, and this one's got a little bit of spice settling on the tongue, which is nice. Spice is always nice.
And creamy, of course.
Yeah.
Creamy.
So yeah, I'm curious to see how this is going to go with some IPAs. Now, this was the show content was voted on by all of our followers of the show and guys on SigFed. So if it sucks, we can blame you guys, but
I don't think it's going to. We're going a little outside of the comfort zone having an IPA, but I think we've already kind of established that this is a cigar that's probably going to stand up well to the IPAs. And I'm cheating. I'm not even on the show schedule. I'm just sipping and smoking. I'm not even following what I'm supposed to be doing because I don't care because it's tasty and I'm enjoying it. Just want to send a quick shout out to all of the people that supported the show and voted for our podcast awards. Unfortunately, we did not win the Angry Chicken one. Congratulations to the Angry Chicken. Tough when you're against a bunch of gaming podcasts. The audience is for the cigar podcast and the audience is for the gaming podcast. Little outside of our scope, unfortunately, but congratulations. Here it's a really, and I actually saw a clip of it. It's a really, really well-produced show.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. I know it sounds cheesy, but I was just happy to be nominated, frankly, to be nominated with some of those podcasts. I mean, there's some yeah. really, really impressive podcasts that we were, put up against. So, again, thanks everybody who voted, and hopefully next year we can maybe get past just the nomination and take home the trophy. But no, it's great to be, recognized for the hard work that we've done. Although you do more of the show prep than I do, But I'm just here to provide a little bit of levity and tell you guys what I think about these pairings. So I'm actually ready to get started, man. I've already started, frankly.
Yeah, I think I've actually, so I've already gotten halfway down this beer, but you know, it's okay because it's a session IPA. So it's perfectly acceptable. As you can see, this cool beer from Goose Island. It is the Endless IPA, which sounds super IPA-ish, but it's a session IPA, which means you can crush a couple of cans of this and you're not going to be blown out. A little bit about Goose Island. If you want to check out their website, gooseisland.com, you can find more information about their brewery and their beers. They are located in Chicago, Illinois. I'm not sure I've ever featured a beer from Chicago, Illinois, so that's kind of cool. Founded in 1988 by John Hall, and they opened their brewery officially in 1995. And interestingly enough, he pioneered bourbon-aged beer in 1992. At least that's their claim, which is kind of a cool claim. The Endless IPA, it's, of course, an American-style IPA. I think all of the beers I'm drinking tonight are American-style IPAs. 5% ABV, so it's pretty low. Only 33 IBUs, which is quite low for an IPA. And you can see it's got that sort of pale ale color to it. A little bit of head on it, but not very much. So quite light. And then for hops, it's got Amarillo. I'm kind of expecting more, actually, out of an Endless IPA. And then malts, it's got Two Row, Carapils, and C60. And they say it's brewed to be easy drinking, and it's absolutely a session IPA. And the fact that I've already drank half of it kind of proves it's a session IPA. I think if you're worried about getting into IPAs, you find the bitterness a little too astringent for you, a little too shocking, this is a great way to start because this is really a pale ale on steroids.
Nice. Yeah. Oddly enough, the first beer I'm going with only features one hop as well. Some of the interesting, there's so many hops out there nowadays that with high alpha acids that you can use as your bittering hop, like Citra. Citra has a really high alpha acid. And you can use that as your bittering hop because alpha acids are where you get the bitters from, or the bittering flavor from. But there's so much more flavor. There's so much aroma from these particular hops that you can really do. You can do a smash. You can do it doesn't have to be a smash, which is a single malt, single hop. You can just do a single hop IPA, and people are going to love it, much like the Two-Hearted Ale from Bell's Brewing, which is what I'm featuring today. And that is a 100% Centennial. Yeah, that's what I thought. Centennial hop. And Centennial is one of the biggest hops, I think. And Cascade is probably the highest selling hop, at least the last few years anyway. But there's so much new stuff. Anyway, Centennial. So it's a one hop Centennial hop. This is a 7.0 alcohol by volume. The shelf life is 6 months on one of these things, which is interesting. I like that they actually put that there.
Yeah,
on their website.
Centennial's a completely West Coast hop, right?
I believe so. Yes. Yeah. When it comes to hop history, I don't really know all that much, but when it comes to all of this stuff, I don't know that much, but I'm doing my best. So when they say that it's just a single hop, there's more than one hop addition. So they're putting in hops more than once, but they're only using the same hops. So at the beginning of your boil, you're putting in when you're boiling for a 5 gallon batch, you're boiling for 60 minutes. So you're putting in your bittering hops at that point. And the reason is you break down those alpha acids to the point where you're releasing all of that bitterness by the end of that 60 minutes. If you put your flavor and aroma hops in at the end, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, you know, at flame out, you're not getting any of that bitterness. It's not going to adjust your IBUs at all, but you're going to get a lot more of that hop flavor and that hop aroma. So
I understood some of the words you used there.
I'm geeking out on this thing.
No,
man.
I like it.
I took a class at UC Davis this past weekend. So I learned there's so many things I'm doing wrong, but at the same time, there's a lot of things I'm doing right. And I'm very excited to brew my next batch. But anyway, so I'm going with the Two-Hearted Ale from, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, isn't the beginning of knowledge finding out what you don't know?
Somebody smart probably said that.
Mm-hmm. It was not me, I guarantee.
Anyway, so I'm going with the Two-Hearted Ale from Bell's. It's American-style IPA. And just to give you guys a little bit of info on them, like I said, it's all Centennial. 6 month shelf life, which is pretty long for an IPA, frankly. Usually after about 30 days, you're starting to lose you're starting to lose some of that hop aroma and some of that hop flavor. Anything that you're getting from dry hopping, you start to lose that. But depending on how it's brewed and the way that the hops are added to the mash, you can obviously control that. I mean, some IPAs like the stuff from Stone, which we're going to get into, and I'll probably get into that. I'll get to that next. But some things are really engineered to be consumed super fast, super fresh. That's it. Don't let this sit on the shelf for more than a couple of weeks. And this one obviously is not brewed that way. And it's still seen. I want to pull up the number here. When you go to Beer Advocate,
which is a great website.
I'm just going to pull. Yeah, absolutely. Let me see. I should have had this pulled up already and I didn't. But I always go to Beer Advocate. Just to, it's usually the first thing that pops up anyway. But the Beer Advocate score on this is 95.
Wow.
With 3,434 reviews. And it's been around. It was added to Beer Advocate in 2001. I'm not exactly sure when this was brewed the first time, but everybody seems to love it. I really enjoyed it. I tried to brew a clone of this, which didn't look anything like it, but the flavor profile was actually pretty similar. But you're going to get a lot of grapefruit notes. You're going to get some of that pine as well. It's actually a very kind of standard flavor in an IPA, and it's a really good illustration of just a Midwest American IPA. Sorry, Bell's is out of Michigan. And yeah, great beer. And so far, the pairing's going pretty well. Have you had a chance to try this one from Bell's?
I got to get my hands on that. And I guess just because I think we talked about it either last show or the show prior, there is kind of an East Coast, West Coast style thing going on where West Coast tend to be a little bit more hop forward and East Coast tend to be a little bit more malt forward. Now, obviously, there's going to be that's a stereotype, but that's kind of a generality as an approach to West Coast and East Coast. And I've certainly found that to be true of most of the West Coast IPAs I've tried, that they're absolutely hop forward.
Yeah, there's and the hop revolution out here on the West Coast, if you want to use that term, is there's new hops every day. It seems like, you know, there's a new strain that's I think it's Warrior Hops. And I believe those are from California. They may be from New Zealand. I'm not sure. Those are two of the hotbeds right now as far as new hop varietals. But it's like about 20% alpha acids. So that's super, super bitter. Just to put it into perspective, I think I want to say Cascade is like 5%.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to range anywhere from 4 to, you know, up in the 20s, which is just, that's just crazy. It's like, that's like your super intense Lajero, if you want to, use that corollary, going from just a, you know, like a regular Lajero to that, that crazy one that's, Logan always talks about that Skip uses.
The ASP.
Yeah. Then that's your Warrior Hop, if you will. Your level of bitterness is probably akin to the level of, nicotine strength you get from that. But anyway, let's jump into these pairings. I think it's odd that we're both going with Michigan beers.
It is kind of funny, but just want to remind our audience that you're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 75, Herrera Esteli and IPAs. I'm your host, John, the Cigar Surgeon, joined by my co-host, Robbie Raz. As always, we are broadcast around the world, heard on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks very much. And happy July 1st by the time you listen to this. Hope you're celebrating it safe and sound with you know, maybe you have a chance to taste a beer wherever you're stationed in the world. I hope you do and enjoy the celebrations and some fireworks and good times. We're certainly enjoying some good times pairing with the Herrera Esteli tonight. I'm just smoking this nonstop. This is such an easy cigar, and it's an easy pairing. I mean, it is a session IPA, so it's not hop forward. It's not, you know, it doesn't have overwhelming hop characteristics to it. So it's not really what I wanted to do. I did want to kind of start out with a normal IPA and then ramp it up. And I've kind of done that with the IBUs tonight. So for me, this is an easy pairing. It's not an amazing pairing in the sense that it's not pulling anything out of this cigar that I'm not otherwise getting, but could I sit out here with a Herrera and crush a couple of these Goose Island IPAs? Heck yeah, I could.
The great thing about this two-hearted ale from Bell's is it's so balanced. It really is. It's almost kind of like a perfect IPA. There's enough malt in the background. It's got that malty backbone. It's not going to be overly malty. It's got it's hop forward as far as the aroma is concerned. Really, really big time hop aroma. I mean, you're getting the whole spectrum from kind of that dirty, earthy, hoppy, danky smell all the way up to, you know, the brighter grapefruit and the pineapple. It's, and that all, everything in between, that's that citrus that you're going to get out of the middle. I get a ton, just a ton of lemon citrus and that grapefruit right off the nose. This is one of my favorite beers. And I've had a lot of IPAs. I'm not the IPA master or anything like that. I'm lucky enough to live in the Bay Area.
Is that a title? IPA master?
It should be. If it's not, someone needs to earn it. That could be a badge on Drew Diplomat. Well, maybe on Untappd. Wouldn't make much sense on Drew Diplomat. But no, it really is one of the best IPAs I've had. And it's the balance of, like I was just saying, that malty flavor with the hop flavor, the aroma and the bitterness. It's not overly stacked in any one place. Same along the lines to me as the Herrera Esteli. You get that spice on the nose, excuse me, on the retrohale. You get that creamy, that, I want to say malty again. You get that creamy mouthfeel, and that there's some cedar notes in there. There's some earthy notes in there. I'm getting a little bit of a leathery note, which I normally don't get from this cigar.
Yeah, I don't get that normally.
With this pairing, which is kind of interesting. It's bringing it into a different direction. I don't know if this is the best pairing. The problem is I really like this cigar, and I really like this beer, and I really want to like them together. And I'm going to stop talking and take a few more puffs and sips here and see if I can make that happen. Because so far, it's all right.
Yes, I mean, like you said, this is kind of an okay pairing. It's not bad pairing. It's not a amazing pairing. It's a fine pairing. The notes of the cigar are coming out, the notes of the beer are coming out, but it's like they're both sitting in a room and they're not talking to each other, which is okay because neither one's kind of talking over each other for the flavor profile. But, you know, part of the front of the pairing show is seeing if we can get some funky flavors of the beer, see if we can get some funky flavors out of the cigar. Once again, and I'll have to smoke this whole thing to determine whether this is better than the Lonsdale. But I'd say so far it's competing really well with the Lonsdale. It's got a really nice underlying creaminess with some spicy notes and, of course, more spice in the retrohale. I did. I like, you know, and box press. Come on.
I've never smoked the square press, but it's not better than the Lonsdale. It's just not.
That's fair.
No, it's not. It's not fair at all.
You're on the go. Yeah.
It's a lot of things. Fair is not one of them. no. And, you know, talking about the retrohale, and we don't really talk about retrohale that much when we're talking about pairing, and I think it's really important that you do retrohale. I can get stuck in the situation where we're talking about our pairings, so our cigars are going to go out and our beers might get a little bit warm, but it can get to the point where I take a puff, I know I've got a limited amount of time to figure out whether I'm enjoying this pairing or not, and I'll neglect to retrohale. So when I go with the retrohale, while you were talking there, I did a couple of puffs and a couple of sips, and there's a creaminess that's stretching across the spectrum of flavor from both sides, from the beer that's through the cigar. I get that creaminess on the mouthfeel there, and it's even the creamy on the retrohale. And that leathery thing that I thought I was getting, it's not there. That maltiness from the beer mingles really well with the creaminess from the cigar. Maybe that's the combination of those two flavors, that malty flavor and that creaminess, is where I thought I was getting a little bit of leathery type thing from, but not necessarily. It's actually working. It's working well. It's getting better as I focus more on it. And that's one of the problems we're going to run into here doing a show like this in a limited amount of time. We're trying to talk about three different beers. You can neglect a few things, but don't forget to retrohale when you're pairing. I mean, it's always best to retrohale whenever you're smoking anything because you get the most flavor out of it, but don't forget to retrohale when you're pairing.
And this is a cigar that is not going to bite you when you retrohale it because it is got so much creaminess to it. You could almost retrohale this on every single draw and be okay. Like whether that's 30% or 50% or 70%, it's not like a Lajero Bomb that you can only retrohale unless you're Logan, you can only retrohale every two or three puffs. It's a very easy smoking cigar. It's got a lot of body to it, but it's very approachable. I'm enjoying this pairing, but I think I'm kind of ready to move on to something a little bit more complicated.
Yeah, real quick from a comment from another man. He said he didn't think he'd get the Bells out here. The Bells doesn't really distribute to California, which is why it's hard to get a hold of the Two Hearted and Hop Slam. I believe Bells also does Bells do Hop Slam too? Or am I? They do. Bells does another one. It may not be Hop Slam, but they're hard to get their hands on. And I did find a place, Miller Man, in Southern California that gets two-hearted, and they ship up to Northern California for a very reasonable rate. I don't think they ship out of state, but it's a nice place for me to check and see what they've got. And it's called InsideTheCellar.com, I believe. And they're in Southern California, ship up to Northern California, and they get the two-hearted and the Hop Slam in occasionally. So that was where I got my hand.
Fair enough. All right. Well, I'm going to move on to my next pairing because I'm excited to step it up a notch. And I'm stepping it up a notch in style with the Big Daddy IPA from your hometown of San Francisco. I love the bottle. It's kind of got that sort of gangster. I mean, he's got a cigar in his hand. How can I not pick up? I mean, it just speaks to me. He's got a cigar in his hand. So this is from Speakeasy Ales and Lagers. You can find out more about Speakeasy at their website, which is goodbeer.com. I don't know how that website was available, but they got it. They're located in San Francisco. They've been there since 1997. And in 2011, they launched a new tap room. They expanded the facilities. In 2015, they added a 60-barrel brew house, and they increased their production to 90,000 barrels per year, which seems impressive. I'm going to hold this up. You can see it's a little bit darker than the Goose Island. It's got almost an amber hue to it, and it's got a little bit more of a creamy head. I have not tasted it yet. I have not nosed it yet, but a little bit about this beer. This is the Big Daddy IPA, 6.5% ABV, 60 IBUs. So we're going up a notch, a significant notch. And really where I would expect most of my IBUs on the IPA to be is in that 60, 65, 70 range. That's kind of my IPA playground. They use a lot of hops. They use Columbus, Cascade, Centennial. There's a Centennial hops again. Vermont. No surprise here. Two Roll Pale and Light Munich. What I love about the website, and love that beer sites are doing this now, they've got recommended pairings. Buttermilk, fried chicken, and biscuits. Biscuits. I don't know. That's what the recommended pairing is.
Absolutely.
Wood fire sausage pizza. I'm there. Bacon cheeseburger. Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then they say it's even good with curry dishes because it'll accent the spice and offset the spice in a curry dish. And you can even go grilled salmon or fried calamari because they'll bring out a little bit more of the citrus quality out of the IPA.
I was with you until grilled salmon.
Until grilled salmon? No. Yeah, that's fair. Salmon is, I think, one of those fish that's very divisive. But I want to taste this beer. I've been kind of, you know, really eager to taste this beer. So I'm going to taste some beer while you talk about your second pairing.
All right. I'm going with a California brewery this time. And I know that we've featured Stone Brewing on the show before. And I know that I've probably droned on and on about the Enjoy By series. And this one is Enjoy By the 5th of July, which is coming up. So this is just towards the tail end of the time to enjoy it. The window is closing. So if you haven't had a chance, I highly recommend that you pick some up. Did a review of this for my other website called mixedandmash.com. And we do our ratings on a 1 to 5 scale, very similar to Untappd. And I've given each rating a Star Wars character because I'm a Star Wars nerd. And one being a Jar Jar. Jar Jar.
Nice.
Anything below one, actually, which I'll probably never give anything a Jar Jar. I mean, maybe just for fun, I'll review a Miller Lite or something. But this one got a Boba Fett. And if you're familiar with our scoring, you know that's actually really, really high. So I recommend you check it out. Check out mixandmash.com for that review. This one is 9.4% alcohol by volume. That falls into the category of an Imperial IPA or double IPA, whichever you prefer to call it. Now, you want to talk about hops. Now, there's an interesting thing why they can really get in and get as much out of these hops as they can, and we'll talk about that a little bit. This features Nugget, which we're familiar with the Nugget hops, Supreme Galena, which I'm not familiar with, Simcoe, we know, Delta, we know, Target, never know, I'm not familiar with it, Amarillo, we're familiar, Cascade, Galaxy, I love Galaxy hops. Citra is a huge, huge deal. Everybody loves Citra. And Nelson Sauvin, and I think that's how you say it. It's like Sauvignon. Nelson Sauvin, which is also out of, I believe that's New Zealand. And that is a really hard hop, from what I understand, to get your hands on because it is so freaking popular nowadays. Motuka? I'm not sure how to say that. Motueka and Helga. M-O-T-U-E-K-A. Motueka? Anyway.
That's a funky word for sure.
It is. So, I mean, that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 hops in one freaking beer. 9.4%, 90 IBUs. It's got 100 rating on Rate Beer, which is really, really high. The flavor profile is hoppy, tropical, and floral. Go to stonebrewing.com and look up their and look up any of their beers, really. They give you so much information all the way down. They actually have cigar pairing recommendations. They recommend in this one that you pair an Alec Bradley Trilogy Authentic Corojo, Altadas USA Edición Limitada, or a Camacho Select. But they give you so much information, and props to Stone for what they do. I don't give out props very often, but
it's true.
their website is legit, and they give you a ton of info. Now, the cool thing about this is these beers are they do. I'm not exactly sure how they get things in the bottles and they get them out so fast, but these things hit the shelves really, really quick because they've got like a 37-day window of viability. And sure, you can drink them after that 37 days, but you're not going to get everything that they want you to get out of this beer when they're using all these different hops. So many hop additions, and the bulk of those are going to be for aroma and flavor. There's bittering hops in here as well, obviously at 90 IBU. Interesting note, the human tongue, at least this is what I learned, cannot taste anything higher than 90.
Really?
Anything higher than 90 IBUs, I think it's 90,
it's too bad.
Just doesn't make a difference. Again, That's what I heard. The science behind it, I'm not familiar with it, but that's just that's the information that I got.
That's a really cool factoid. I super dig that.
It's interesting because there's a lot of beers out there that are 100 plus, and you know, maybe they don't make that big of a difference. And anything,
it's like SPF 60. Yeah. Means nothing.
And the more often than not, it's just milk. Little Friends reference there. If you're even like a professional beer judge, tasting panel guys can't taste the difference in anything less than 5 IBUs. So if you've got something that's 80 and 84, it's going to taste exactly the same as far as an IBU standpoint. Yeah.
Interesting.
So there's a couple little factoids that I picked up there.
So it's super dose based. You have to increase the dose by a certain amount in order to really detect the difference.
Yeah. There's some cool stuff going on. Haven't jumped into this beer yet, but I've had it before. It's fantastic. It's almost like it's like that the two-hearted in the sense that it's got a ton of flavor to it, but this is so much more hop forward. Hops. You're slammed with these hops. Tons of aroma. There's a lot of fruit. A lot of guava style fruit, tropical but sweet, not too tart. There's some citrus in there as well, pineapple, things like that. But you also get that underlying dankness right at the bottom, just kind of right underneath. Not a lot of pine, but more of that dank, wet earth type dankiness. I don't know how else to say it other than dank.
Dank IPAs can't melt steel beams.
Sorry?
Nothing.
Anyway. I'm going to jump into this. I'm gonna stop prattling on about this. I love this beer. Can you tell? I'm really excited.
No, it sounds like you hated it. I just want to remind our audience that you're tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 75. This is the Herrera Esteli Cigar and IPA Pairing Show. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined as always by Robbie Raz, my co-host. We are broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. And tonight we're broadcast on Blab, which is kind of cool. We're trying out some new technology because that's just how I roll. New technology and Hangouts, quite frankly, was making me a little cranky. But talking about our IPA pairings, I am enjoying this Big Daddy IPA. And I got to tell you, Rob, I think you got to seek this out. This has this huge, creamy mouthfeel forward to it. And so it just immediately coats the palate. And then you get a nice, not over-the-top pininess. And so you get that nice pininess. It mixes in with the creaminess. And then it finishes with the citrus. It's an outstanding IPA, and at 6.5%, that's really not that bad. I mean, I could, you know, it's a tall boy, but I could drink a tall boy and a half, you know, and be still reasonably coherent. With the cigar, it's going really well, though the creaminess from the IPA is kind of running. Also, effervescence is fun times when you're doing a pairing show. Thank goodness I'm quick on that mute button. from the cigar, I need to take some more retrohales of the cigar because I'm finding that I'm focusing a little bit too much on the beer right now, and I'm not focusing on the cigar because this beer is just so darn good. It really is really good. I wouldn't mind some buttermilk fried chicken actually try with this beer. That kind of got me wondering. Anyways, I'm going to take some more sips and do some more retrohales and see if I can pick up some notes from the cigar with this beer. What's happening with?
It's interesting, and I'm very familiar with Speakeasy. The Big Daddy IPA has been in my rotation for a while, and I've actually got one of their session IPAs that I want to crack open. I believe it's called Baby Daddy. That's a very cute name. When I grab my third beer here, I'll grab it out so you guys can take a look. But they're doing some really, really cool stuff, and one of the first super craft beers at companies that I really got into, because I mean they're right down the street, so it's local and I have access. But yeah, very, very good stuff. So far for me, this pairing's a bit of a letdown, and I think the reason is this beer is so hop forward that, and I know how it's supposed to taste, but with the flavors that I'm getting, I'm running over some of that hoppiness. I'm getting the dank undertones and that little bit, the malty backbone there. When I say malty backbone, it's not the same as with the two-hearted. The malt characteristics of the two-hearted is they're much more prevalent and much more, I don't know why the word sustainable comes to my mind, but they've got more power to it. The malt backbone here in the Stone is not quite there. I mean, this is, you're highlighting the hops. That's why it's only available for a month and a half. A month and a week, you want to taste those hops, and they're getting a bit run over with the spice and the body from the cigar. So it's a little bit of a letdown in that sense. Still not a horrible pairing by any means, but if I'm sitting here and I want to focus on this beer, I kind of can't. So that's a little bit of a letdown. I can't hear you.
I'm a professional and I don't know how to use a mute button.
It happens.
I thought I was on mute and then I thought I unclicked mute, but I obviously have been playing too many video games and I missed my cue. Anywho, moving right along, I think the Jerez de Lee would go well with a large variety of IPAs, which I think were kind of one way of demonstrating. However, I think if you had a really piney forward IPA, I think that pine would be a little too much for the Jerez de Lee. I think the issue is that the Jerez de Lee is really blended to be sort of medium plus bodied, medium strength. And what I mean by that is it's got a lot of creaminess, it's got a lot of body to it, but there's not a lot of underlying spice and there's not a lot of underlying pepper. And the problem with that is that because there's so much creaminess and sweetness to it, if you have too much pininess in there, I think it just ends up blowing out the core flavor profile of that cigar. Would a piney forward IPA pair well with an Undercrown or an Ica Rustica? Yeah, I think it would. But I think if it's too pine forward, I think any Jerez de Lee, even the Lonsdale, the mystical Lonsdale, is going to get blown out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's I'm not facing that problem. Or at least I stepped away for the microphone. I didn't hear part of what you were saying, but.
No worries. It wasn't that interesting anyways.
No, it's not that. I'm not facing that exact same problem that you are. This is just, it's not that there's too much pine, it's just there's too much hops.
Yeah.
That hop aroma, which it's rare that I can say that there's too much hops. And in fact, I don't believe that. I just, as far as this pairing is concerned.
Yeah.
There's a little bit too much of a hoppy note that is getting lost. And again, like I said, I'm in love with this beer in the way that a man probably shouldn't be in love with a beer, but
it's a biblical love.
Yeah,
it's the kind that can't be spoken above.
Sure. And I'm sad that it's going away. And like I said, I've enjoyed 90% of the Enjoy By series from Stone. They have a couple that come out they feature that danky flavor, and that's their style. It's usually the 420 IPA, which doesn't really tickle my palate the way that I like to be tickled, but. Great beer. I don't feel like the pairing. It's not horrible. Like I'm saying, it's not, this isn't a, anything paired with ginger ale. It's not that bad, but the two-hearted for me so far was a much better pairing. And this beer is just not getting the chance to shine that it deserves. Just to go back real quick to the Speakeasy, here's their that's their session IPA, the big or nice. the baby daddy. I said that was pretty sweet. With the it's got a set of brass knuckles on here that has a like a baby what's the thing the baby suck on? Yeah, whatever that's called. Pacifier. Pacifier suit, the same thing. They have Born on Date here on the can, which I like. 4.7%, a little bit high on the chuggability scale for me.
Is that high for a set? Like, where would you want a session IPA to be? Like low fours?
Well, I guess 4.7 isn't bad. Anything below 5, I guess, is fair.
Yeah. I mean, anything below 5 should be you should reason. Can you think about that?
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's fair. That's fair.
Especially on this show, like, what's our ABV? Like 9.5%, 9.25%. I bet if you look at our shows, we probably average well in the high 8s per beer.
No, you're probably right. Yeah. And one thing that I think that, or at least I've discerned from these two beers, because Two Hearted is what, 7%? It's got to say it on the can here somewhere. Yeah, 7%. And this Stone is 9.4. I think when you start getting into that Imperial or double IPA, that might be where you draw the line for pairing with this Herrera Esteli, maybe. I'm curious because I've got another, I believe, double IPA here. No, this one's 7.6. I should have done this one second. My mistake. But I'm curious to see how that works, because I wonder if there's some sort of line there where you want to stick with just a regular IPA that's going to have a little bit of that maltiness. It's going to have some hops, and it's not going to be overpowering one way or the other.
Yeah, no, I think it's not just like you talked about. It's an IBU thing. It's an ABV thing. It's too much. It's too much for the cigar, which isn't the cigar, which is nuanced. Yeah, essence on the beer is fantastic. So
I'd almost want to go back and see of the IPA pairings that we've done, how many Imperial or double IPAs have paired well. You know, I've never really thought about it in those terms, and maybe I'm completely wrong. It's happened before.
I think with the KFC, we were kicking it up pretty high. I think if I remember right, and we'll have to go back and revisit the show as we talk about it. But I feel like we had some pretty big, I think we were in the high 70s, low 80s for a lot of those beers, and they're all pairing really well. But that could be I think we've kind of already established them. It might be a bit of a one-off cigar that with that fire-cured tobacco changes the game.
Absolutely.
So I'm for sure ready to get into my last beer here, which is full on funkified. Because you were talking a little bit about this the last show, or at least it was one of the topics. So this is the Rogue Brewing Rogue Brewing Ales and Spirits. I love Rogue beer. And this bad boy, the cold brew IPA. So it's actually an IPA blended with cold brew coffee. Full on funkified. That's just how I roll. So we've talked about Rogue a number of times, but I'm just going to quickly reiterate for audience, which I didn't write anything down by Rogue. So I'm not going to reiterate for audience, because we've featured Rogue and probably on average every other beer show, we featured a Rogue beer on average. So talking about this cold brew IPA, and I'm going to grab it here. It's got a really dark malty color to it, which is no doubt as a result of that cold brew color. So you can see holding that up and then holding up that Big Daddy, little bit of a difference right there. Little bit of a difference. I mean, this is almost like a brown ale, really. It's approaching a brown ale. Anyways, 7.5% ABV. So I'm stepping it up another notch. And what I love about Rogue's site, and I'm sure they're not tuned in, but if they are tuned in or they do watch the show, I love all the information you give. It's fantastic for all the beer geeks out there. 17 degrees Play-Doh, 82 IBUs, 74 AAs, 28 degrees Lovibond. I love it. Keep giving those numbers if you can. Fantastic. The other thing that's really cool about Rogue, and we talked about websites and breweries that do this, on every bottle, and I'm going to hold it up there. You can see those two little symbols right there. On every single bottle that they produce, they've recommended pairings. Every single bottle. Recommended pairings might surprise you. Pork. Okay. Yeah, pork. Okay. What else? Donuts. Donuts. Okay. Well, whatever. Donuts, whatever. What do they use for brewing characteristics? They use two-row malts, Rogue Farms, It's not just Rogue Farms. It's Rogue Farms Dare with a TM. So it's trademarked Rogue malts. C40, white wheat, rolled oats, and kiln coffee. And then for hops, a ton of hops. They use the Rogue Farms Liberty, the Rebel and Freedom, and Simcoe. And then, of course, the coffee is produced by Stumptown and Stumptown Cold Brew Coffee with Free Range Coastal Water, which I think is a bit of a joke. Free Range Coastal Water. I mean, water isn't free range. It's kind of a little jab, I think, there. And some Pac-Man yeast. They say Stumptown Coffee Roasters Cold Brew is blended with an IPA made. Wow, I'm all over the place tonight. It is blended with an IPA made using Rogue Farms hops for a unique interplay of hops and coffee flavors. Now, I would not normally think coffee and hop flavors would go well together. I don't know because I haven't had it before. Rogue has had some beers that I've tried, like the Sriracha beer and some of their donut beer, which was just not in my ballpark. So I'm hoping that this goes well, but I'm going to take some sips, relight my cigar here, and give you a chance to talk about your third pairing tonight.
I'm really curious about that one, and I can see why donuts would be a good pair because it's got that cold brew coffee in it. Stone actually just came out with their Mocha IPA, which sounds horrible, but you know, you just never know with some of these IPAs. I tried one at the beer camp, Sierra Nevada Beer Camp Festival, that was a coconut IPA, and it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So you just never know. My third beer of the night, and this one's interesting, comes from a brewery called Rusthauler, which I featured on our last show. And again, I can't not see Frankenstein in that picture. And I know it's not Frankenstein.
It's the founder. He might have been a little bit of a scary dude. Yeah.
It's somebody's grandfather. The story I'm not too familiar with, and I should get more familiar with it because they're right up the road. In fact, while I was driving back and forth to my class in Davis this past weekend, I drove right by their hop farm, which looked like it was not Northern California, that area, that Sacramento area where you're growing hops this year, they've just been toasted because it's been so hot. So it's late in the season for their hops to be as short as they were. So it might be a tough growing season up there in that area. But anyway, I'm not a farmer and I don't really know, but that was the feeling that I got. But it was 104 each day that I was up there.
Ooh, doggy. So there you go. That is hot.
Yeah. So this is, it is hot. And I was under the impression that we were going to, some of our class was going to be outside. Luckily, it was not. This is the Rusthauler Test IPA, and this is version 9.0. Now, there are, obviously, there's been nine versions. The Test IPA, they have it listed as 60 IBUs and 7.6% ABV. Now, I'm guessing that each one has been kind of in that range because it's the same thing it says in the bottle. So there's not a lot of information as to what is going on with this beer, what hops they've used, which malts they've used, anything like that. Not really available. There's not a lot of info. It's only been on the market, I think, since the beginning of May, I think, is when it hit shelves. So it's still in that nice range of an IPA. For me, I don't really want anything that's much older than like 2.5 months. You start to get to 3 months, you start losing a lot. And that's where if I see that, I always look for the born on dates or whatever you want to call it, bottle dates. If there isn't one, then I tend to not buy it. And if it's too late, I tend to not buy it. So there's that. But I guess the idea was they just wanted to try a bunch of different things. They're limited to 70 cases per version. So you can go to their website. It's Rusthauler Beer, Rusthauler Beer.com. And you can look at some of their breweries or some of their beers available. This is the Test IPA. They go through and they say, you know, the world doesn't need another IPA. The Test IPA was born in our RFR&D program, which if you look, they do a lot of their own growing, a lot of local stuff. So they're that to me was kind of like a beer R&D, research and development type program. It's gone under many code names, including Blanco and Citra Mafia. When visitors come to the tap room, the visitors liked it and they couldn't stop drinking it themselves. So they realized that they wanted to, you know, share this and see what people think.
Still stuck on the idea, Citra Mafia.
Isn't that great? They wanted feedback. I mean, the idea of this is, you know, taste it, see what you like, and you know, we'll tweak our version our next one based on, you know, what you guys are thinking. And hopefully we make our way to that perfect IPA, right? This version, and I think most of the versions, are a bit more malt forward. 7.6 ABV, so you're not creeping up quite to that double IPA standard. There's not a ton of hops in this that you can, I mean, I can just tell from the flavor. This is much more malty. It almost really, for me, falls under more of a pale ale flavor profile than an IPA. It's actually pairing quite well, though. So it's an interesting type of IPA for me. I don't know a ton about it, like I said, but the flavor profile, much more malt forward, not quite as hoppy as some of these others have been. I would like to go up there and speak with the folks up at West Holler, and might plan a trip up there and see if I can sit down and chat with them a little bit. But some really, really cool beers coming out of there that I've tried. The one that I had on the last show was the coffee pale ale, which was quite good in the pairing. The Kenyan, I think, is what they called it. I want to see how your pairing was.
I think I've reached the point of IPA that is no longer right with this cigar. The beer itself is fantastic. I think they did a great job of balancing out the amount of coffee in this so that it's not too coffee forward. It kind of reminds me in a sense of hoppiness, where the coffee is an accent. It's not a primary flavor. So I get a lot of maltiness up front. I get a lot of citrus, and then I just get sort of a hint of coffee. Like it's not even like a coffee porter where you get notes of espresso or a charred caramel. It's not like that at all. I think by doing a cold brew coffee, they've taken a lot of the acidic qualities out of that. So you're not getting any of those astringent characteristics, which I think would just, I don't know if it'd blow out the IPA, but it'd certainly blow the cigar right out of the water. But the beer itself is just too full bodied. It's got too much flavor going on. It's too forward for the cigar, and the cigar is really getting lost in it. It's not terrible, but I'm really struggling to find the notes in the cigar at this point. Because it is, I mean, the Jerez de Lee is a nuanced cigar. I mean, if I was smoking this, maybe a number 9 or smoking a T52, I think both of those have enough body and enough spice characteristics with the Lajero in them to stand up to something like this from Rogue. But the Jerez de Lee, it's too nuanced, which isn't to say I'm not enjoying myself, but it's not the right pairing. But hey, heck of a beer. Really enjoying it.
Yeah. When I saw that you were pairing with that, I was curious to see what the outcome was going to be. I was just curious. The beer on its own, though, you're enjoying it?
Yeah, it's good. And I say that because, you know, Rogue sometimes can be really hit and miss for me. And maybe it's just because they like to experiment and whatever. It's their brewery. They can do whatever they want. But, you know, I've had some Rogues that are good. I've had some Rogues that are okay. And I've had some Rogues that are like just flat out awful. This is in the good to good plus category, where it's good. I'm not going to go out of my way to get it, but if I see it at the store, I'll probably pick up a bottle and keep a bottle in the fridge for when I want it. You know, I think I would almost say the cold brew coffee is overstated. You could almost ramp up the cold brew coffee a little bit on this to give you a little bit more coffee flavor, but then I don't know what that would do to the flavor. So I say that not being a brewer, but they've got just enough to add some interesting quality to this, and still contain, it still keeps that core IPA quality, the core IPA characteristics. So great beer, but unfortunately just not a winning pairing tonight with the Jerez de Lee. Speaking of pairings, how is that third one now that's given a little bit of chance to settle in?
Yeah, you know, it's not bad. It's not the best tonight. The Two Hearted is the best, and it's tough because it's one of my favorite beers, but I think if I had to, between the Two Hearted and the Stone Enjoy By, you know, July 4th, 2016, I'm not sure which one I'd pick. I think part of me says that I probably pick the Stone just to enjoy as a beer, because I know I can only have it for so long. So maybe there's that. But when it comes to just kind of a standard IPA, this Two Hearted is one of my favorites. I wish it was a go-to for me. It's just not as accessible for me out here in California.
Yeah.
So coming back to the Rust Holler, it's an interesting style. I still don't know that. I mean, there's people smarter than me making this beer, and I just don't know that I'd call it an IPA. And maybe it's because we're at the tail end of the night. I've had two beers already, and I'm halfway through a cigar, so my palate might be a little bit jacked. I always feel like the last beer that we pair with gets kind of a short stick.
But, sometimes.
But
sometimes that third beer is the winner. So you never know.
Yeah. No. And it's, so I'd be curious, and I wish I could go back and have tried this maybe second, but much more malty, and it does pair well. I don't feel like it's doing any favors for the beer. The cigar is great. I'm getting more of that spice, more of that creaminess. I feel like everything on the cigar is being elevated a little bit. So from that standpoint, it's awesome. But the beer, I feel like it's getting run over a little bit. So am I upset about the pairing? No. But it's probably the second best pairing of the night. But that two-hearted for me, tough to beat, man. Tough to beat.
Yeah, I think the Speakeasy is the clear winner of the night for me, not only from a mouthfeel perspective, because it's got that great creamy mouthfeel, but the hoppiness in it, even though it was sitting at 60 IPUs, it really wasn't that hop forward. It was really balanced. Still got a lot of hop characteristics in it with the citrus and the pine, which is really, I think, as far as I would want to take it with this particular Herestilly. You know, again, a different offering from Drew Estate. I might step up this to something like you had earlier with the 90 IBUs, but that Big Daddy IPA was a clear winner. The Goose Island is probably the close second, and only, I think, because it's a session IPA. And that just speaks more about the crushability of a session IPA than really the quality of the beer in terms of pairing. But I mean, if you know, it's a hot day out and you don't want to have your fancy beer, the Goose Island would be a no-brainer on a hot day. I think that'd be the way to go.
Why would you not want a good beer on a hot day?
Well, you know, I mean, why wouldn't I? I always want a good beer on a hot day, but I can't speak for audience. Our audience, you know, has varied palates, and maybe they're in New Orleans and it's hot outside and they're sweating their knot off. Nah.
You gotta watch the knot.
Watch that knot.
Gotta watch it. Now this has been good. I've enjoyed this pairing. The Serrera Esley. I feel like we could do one show a month dedicated to this cigar because we both love it. And I've even got like this big Herrera Esteli sticker that I don't know where the hell I'm going to put it, but nice. It's, you know, it's the band, but it's kind of a cool sticker. Maybe I'll put it on my brewing setup, but great cigar, great beers. I think the moral of the story for me is if you want to pair with this particular cigar or a blend that's similar, kind of got that creamy profile with some spice on the finish, nice balance, go with a beer that's going to mimic that, that's going to have a nice balance. It's going to give you some of that hoppiness. It's going to give you a nice malty backbone. So you're going to get some of that creamy mouthfeel from the beer, and you're going to get some of that hop to kind of maybe cleanse the palate. I don't know if I'm using that, if that's really the right thing that it's doing.
I think
that's
so. With the citrus.
Yeah, you get that citrus and just kind of that citrus kick that I feel like the beer is going to have that maltiness with the citrus kick. The cigar has that creaminess with a spicy kick, and those two things just go really, really well together for me. So if that's what you're looking to do with your Herrera Esteli, that's the type of IPA I would look for. I know there's a few guys on SigFed who posted up some photos today that they're going through a few different IPAs with Herrera Esteli. So I'm curious to see how those pairings worked out for those guys. So hopefully they'll share that with us as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it really just speaks to the sort of, don't be afraid to pair an IPA with a cigar. I think initially, you know, maybe in the first 20 or 30 episodes of the show, we were a little cautious about IPAs because they are the sort of deep end of beer, really. And sometimes they can be a little funkified depending on the cigar you go with. But I think as we've done so many, you know, 2 years of the show now, I think what we've learned is that don't be afraid to try it. If it sucks, it sucks. But the worst case scenario is you spent a few bucks on a beer and it didn't work out. But the best case scenario is you found a new pairing that's fantastic. And hey,
absolutely. I say this a lot, especially about my last pairing. The more that I kind of sip on this Rust Hauler and, work with this Herrera Esteli. And look at that burn. I mean, I've been neglecting the cigar, and that burn is still pretty solid.
It's getting better. So good.
I'm getting more of that fruit coming out and a little bit more sweetness coming out of the beer. Some fruit, that fruit forward hoppy flavor is coming out. So it wasn't really there before. I think it was tough because it was such a hot bomb that I had before that my palate had to reset a little bit. So I'm getting a little more of that flavor, and the pairing's getting a little bit better as you go. And that's another thing, and I know we're running right up against it, but when you're pairing something, give your palate, especially if you're changing beers, especially if you're changing cigars, that's the tough part. If you're changing beers, give yourself, have some sips of water in between, which I've neglected to do.
Yeah.
But give your palate some time to kind of acclimate to the beer that you're having, especially if it's different than the beer you had before. So just don't judge a beer by one sip.
Absolutely.
That's the best.
So quick hits here. We've got some interesting shows coming up in the next few days. We've got Cigar Chat with Villiger tomorrow night, which is going to be interesting. That'll be an interesting show. There might be some fireworks, might be some hot seat questions. What Embargo is interestingly enough scheduled for Thursday, which is unusual for What Embargo. Normally comes on Monday, so watch for that right after Cigar Chat with Villiger. And then Pipe Dummies will be back on its normal time of Tuesday. Now, Rob and I are going to have to do a pre-record for next week because we've got, you know, as we get into July here, things get a little busy. So we're going to be doing a pre-record. Sorry for that. But if you're quick, you might be able to catch us on Sunday and join in the fun. If you keep your eyes open, we might have that available for you. But we'll be posting that on our normal time of Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks again to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners out there. Again, happy July 4th. Happy Independence Day. Be a great day. I hope you get a chance to enjoy an IPA or whatever your favorite beer is, and relax and be safe wherever you are in the world, keeping us safe. As we always say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less. And we're fucking back.
Fucking hey, why not? I was just looking at the schedule. There's only 3 weeks. We have 3 shows until IPCPR.
It's coming up so fast.
It's nuts. go ahead.
I was going to say, so I'm gonna drop a little bit of craziness because, you know, I always get a little crazy before IPCPR. And I've been doing my cigar reviews for a little while now. And I started doing the video cigar review with the review because I was like, I'm going to sit out here anyways. Why don't I just plug in my gear and record it? And, you know, we'll have for the people out there who want to watch me talk about the flavor, because some people are visual learners. They want to see something. They don't want to necessarily read it. Necessarily listen to it.
That was a weird noise that I just made there.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of effervescence.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
It wasn't a burp, but it was like a gun. I felt like I was going to sneeze, but it didn't happen. And so I just kind of grunted. So yeah, I was not close.
It was like
to
your
button. I apologize.
Sound or
wow,
like that.
Grunt or growl? It was a little bit of both. Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
Moving right along. So So I get a little crazy before IPCPR, and I've been looking at my video quality, and I kind of changed because I was using my web camera. And then I started using my DSLR, and of course DSLRs have way better resolution, way better lens. You know, you can see the you can start to see a little bit of my age on my forehead if you zoom in. Don't do it. But I went a little crazy.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
And I pulled the trigger on a cinema lens.
And I'm a little worried that it's going to show some of my age.
Mm-hmm. It's No, it's. I mean, the nice thing about cinema lenses, first of all, is that they're fully manual. Which if you're doing video on a DSLR, you're doing manual focusing and manual anyways. So I was using a really nice lens from Tamron, which actually has fantastic video quality. But I went through and looked at all our reviews, all our interviews last year. I looked at all the shows I was doing, and it turns out for the most part, most of our interviews were done at 35 millimeter or 40 millimeter. So I said, well, why don't I just get a 35 millimeter cinema lens and just kick it up a notch, because I hate money. And, I pulled the trigger. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't expensive, but I think it's going to, you know, take our video another level up maybe for this show. I also got a fancy little follow focus. Really what that's going to let me do is dial in. Cause you know, when we do interviews with people like Andre Farkas, and Andre is, shall we say, a little hectic, a little excitable. Andre likes to move around, and it is really, really tough with a standard DSLR lens to track him. And I'm not a good enough videographer to track him well with the normal focus ring. So the nice thing about the follow focus is that I can quickly dial in focus without screwing around. I think I'm a perfectionist. I'm always looking for ways to push the envelope. So I think it's just going to be one of those things that's going to take our video quality coverage to the next level at the IPCPR. I'm very excited. I love glass. I love spending money on glass, apparently.
Yeah, this is going to be it's going to be fun. Tomorrow, I feel so like our video. There's a little spider here on my desk. Gross. Our video, now that I know that we have a cinema lens, I feel like I need a makeup artist or something to get rid of the lines and whatnot. Do we have somebody that can get rid of the pudginess in my face? I'd like to get rid of that. But anyway. But a soft lens.
Oh,
soft
lens.
I'm looking forward to cleanse. That. Cleanse, like a juice cleanse? No, thanks. I did that once. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'll pass. It really does. It cleans you right out if you read between the lines. Anywho. No, looking forward to IPCPR. It's daunting because there's going to be so much going on. I'm excited because we've got two video crews. We've got two real good photographers. One guy who pretends like he is, and so we should get a lot of really good photos this year. Yeah, we should be doing pretty well. I mean, last year.
And in messing around with the audio, I found a way that the audio is going to be about 20%.
It's funny that you talked about audio because I didn't hear anything you said.
Just from tweaking. Nice. I said that in messing around with the audio for the reviews, I found out that there's some settings that I could have optimized. And essentially what it means is that our audio equipment is doing the amplifying instead of any amplification whatsoever from the camera. So we're probably going to get, and believe it or not, we're going to get.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be super busy. And it's 5 days in Vegas or whatever it is. And I have a feeling that I'm going to be bringing a lot of nice beers with me. Hopefully you're bringing some beers and some other libations down with you. And it's going to be a lot of fun, man. We're going to have a good time.
I think it's going to be a good time. I also have a surprise, which is kind of a me surprise. It's kind of something for me, but I feel like it's something for me, but the SIGFED members are going to think is really cool. And I think, I hope that most people are going to think it's really cool. It's on its way to me. Should be arriving midweek. Unfortunately, it's going to probably arrive before or after we do a pre-record, so I won't have it on for the next show. But I'll probably end up posting a picture because I won't be able to wait until the week after to unveil it. But let's just say I'm really, really excited for how it turned out. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, I don't even know what that is, but it sounds great. I'm in.
It's going to be cool. So yeah, we've only got a few weeks before the IPCPR. We've got we've got Villiger next week. We've got Gurkha of all companies. We've never had Gurkha on the show, so people love to shit on Gurkha, and I like to shit on Gurkha because it's fun. They're an easy target, but I think that now that we've said that, I think that's probably going to be a highly watched show because I think. There's also probably going to be a lot of people that tune into the show just because it's Gurkha and they want to ask some questions. And I think that, number one question is probably going to be, how do you justify your prices and stuff? But we've never had them on the show, and there's no reason why we shouldn't have them on the show. Cause it'll be interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. The, just incidentally, the two shows we have coming up, and I got to run here pretty soon. the two shows we have coming up are, cigar companies, quote unquote, under new management, I guess you could say. Villiger has a new president. That's Rene Castaneda, who, John, you and I both know from the Dram cigars that we've smoked and we enjoyed that. So I'm curious to see what Rene has to say. He wasn't around when the purge happened at Villiger. So I know people are going to want to talk about that. He's not going to have much to say about it because he wasn't there. But I'm curious to see, I've got some of their cigars. I sent some samples, some things. We're going to be posting some reviews and things. And I'm curious to smoke some of their stuff and just see how things are going there. So that's going to be an interesting show. With Gurkha, we have Eddie Guerra. I believe it's Eddie Guerra. I think it's Guerra is how you say his last name. And he's the new director of marketing. So he's got and Gurkha is very marketing driven, and we know that. It's cigars, and you get a humidor and a knife or some crazy shit. But I'm looking forward to it because I've only smoked a handful of Gurkhas in my life, It's, you know, when I was at that point and when I'm, you know, buying, you know, different bundles from cigar.com or Cigars International, where a lot of that stuff comes from. That was really when I transitioned into reviewing and was, you know, working in a different, smoking from a different player pool, I guess, with a lot more of the boutique stuff. So it's going to be an education for me too, because I'm not all that familiar with the company. The Cellar Reserve, that one they had with a white band that was kind of like a flying pig size, that's the one Gurkha that sticks out in my mind that was actually really good. I enjoyed that cigar when I smoked it, and it's been, what, 4 or 5 years now, probably. 3 or 4, however long it's been out. I smoked it when it first came out. And I believe I reviewed it, but not on Cigar Federation. It was one of those Robbie Raz reviews. reviews. So you can't really access that anymore. Maybe I'll see if I can pull it up and post it up on SigFed this week. But no, I'm curious. I'm really curious to see what they have to say. And then the July 14th show, and I beg your pardon, it's actually 4 shows, because the July 14th show is Cornelius and Anthony, which they have one cigar that's made at La Zona, which I know Seth really enjoyed, called the Mac Daddy or something to that effect. I haven't smoked anything from them yet. So really curious about that new company on the scene that a lot of people are enjoying. That final show is going to be one of those Logan and Rob shows, and hopefully, John, you can be there as well. And we'll just talk about the upcoming IPCPR, what we can expect. And, you know, people are going to ask some questions. And we've also got the guys from SaveTheLeaf.org are going to join us briefly for a little segment. They're the guys who are putting on that HERF in August in D.C. So it'll be interesting to talk to those guys for a few minutes just to see what they have planned. So a lot of interesting stuff. Maybe not the cigar names that you expected leading up to IPCPR, but I book all the shows, and my thought process was, at IPCPR, we're going to talk to all these guys. So who are some folks that we haven't really talked to in the past? And that was the way I wanted to go about it. So a little bit different as we approach IPCPR this year, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good show. And I mean, we know already going into it that this is probably going to be something. I mean, that's just
6,000.
Yeah, the official number I think was 600, and I was saying that seems really low because I talked to so many cigar companies.
Wait. Time out. That's an official number.
No,
I was kidding.
That's an official number. 600 new releases, and that's what I've heard. That's the scuttlebutt.
That's the number that's floating around.
That's the unofficial media number that's floating around, is as close to 600 new releases. And, you know, talking is like I was just on Stogie Geeks a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to Scott Weeks of Recluse, and they've got they've got 4 lines. Okay. 4 lines. And he dropped out of nowhere 9 new cigars. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. That's what we're gonna see. And I'm talking over here. Sorry. Two things. One, that Recluse Draconian is a fantastic fucking cigar. That thing is really good. And we're remiss that we haven't had those guys back on. We had them on. We had Scott Weeks, right?
Yep.
We had Scott on a Cigar Chat a while ago. We haven't had him back, which is that's my fault. I should reach out to him, but. When you say that, they're coming out with 9 new cigars, and Jason Holly of Viva Republica said 10. So there's 19 right there
cigars
from two companies. From two companies that, when you think of a bunch of new releases, those aren't the first guys that pop to your mind. Now, what's going to be interesting to me, it's all going to be interesting, right? Because we have got hundreds of people to talk to, hundreds of interviews to do, and hundreds of cigars that we need to somehow get reviewed in a timely manner. I don't know how the hell that's going to happen. But I'm curious to see what the big companies are going to do. What's Altadis going to do? Are they going to introduce new stuff? Is General going to spend money on new stuff? Is Fuente, you know, they don't ever really spend money on new stuff. Or Padron. I mean, is Padron, like last year, Padron introduced, was it last year they did the Connecticut? And that was just kind of crazy, right? Are they going to do something new? Probably not, is my thought. So when you think about those big companies, even like a Drew Estate, maybe they're going to crush out a few things here and there, but are they going to add any more core line style cigars? I doubt it. I frankly doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I think going into the show, what we're going to see is every boutique company under the sun is going to release anything and everything that they're even thinking about.
5, 10, 15, 20. Yeah. Everybody, you get a cigar.
You're going to see stuff that's like, yeah, I was thinking about using this wrapper, so I just released a new cigar. And that's what it's going to be. Is it any good?
The one thing I will say, I keep talking over you. I'm sorry, but I'm excited. When you say I've been thinking about using this wrapper, here's a new cigar. Yeah, so here's six new cigars.
In ten different colors.
I've always wanted to do a San Andreas Maduro. So here's four of them.
And I think so. You're gonna see from the boutique companies. So, you're gonna see new stuff. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think with the Altadis and the Generals, you're going to see, hey, remember this brand that we released briefly back in 2004? No? Great.
It's already happened.
It's back, and it's a regular release. And here's six other regular releases that were originally one-offs, or they were limited production runs. Everything that's old is going to be new again. And, I mean, I don't have a duffel bag to take samples back with me. So... I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, we're going to have 10 reviews a week. And even then, I don't think we could get through all the new releases. I don't think it's going to be possible.
Not in a timely manner. And you're right. I mean, with it, and I don't know if it was General or Altadis that re-released or reintroduced one of those Cuban brands. And I can't remember which one it was. Las Paragas or something like that. You know the Cuban stuff better than I do. But this was a few months ago. Right after May 5th, so it was like a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we're going to see. And we're really, if you go back, and I've always said this, man, if especially in this industry, and it's probably true in every industry, when you talk to someone about cigars that they're releasing or, you know, what their plans are, and you listen to the questions that they ask you and the things that they don't say, you kind of have an idea already as to what their plans are. And really, if you look back at General last year, what did they do? They revamped Bolivar and they revamped Ramon Ayones. So yeah, that's the type of stuff that we're going to see. And we're going way off the deep end. But yeah, I'm getting, the closer we get to it, the more excited I am getting.
And you know what? I'm excited for the fact that you and I are not going to be in the hotel till 3 a.m. We're going to be out and about with our fam at the Circle Bar, or as one of the members of Drew Estate called the Whore Bar, Whore Island, he said. Yeah. Well, I think he called it Whore Island because
explaining that to my wife.
Yeah. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell your significant other. But, I mean, I'm excited to go back to the Circle Bar. I'm excited for us to not be stuck in a hotel room to meet and drink and smoke with the people that we know and love and hobnob and find out some of the industry stuff that we, you know, find on the table, some of the stuff we can report on, some of the stuff we can't report on, and really continue to work those relationships that we've worked for many, many years. You and Logan have worked for many, many years to develop. You know, it's as much an event to see the people we know as it is to cover the IPCPR. And that's the other part that I think I'm really stoked for.
And I don't want to eat at the same places. I'd like to have dinner at a different place every night.
No. If you and I need to ditch Logan, it's going to happen. Yeah. We're just going to be like, see ya.
Yeah. I'm cool with the breakfast spot. I like the breakfast spot, but there's so much food in Vegas it's funny. I think if people are watching this show and they, you know, maybe this is the first show they're watching, they're getting the wrong impression. When it comes to IPCPR, we don't fuck around. It's work, 2 in the morning, busting out video, editing photos, writing up content. There's
17 hours.
There's a lot of work that goes into it. So for us to say that we're excited that we've got a more broad scope of a team to support us from that standpoint, sure, John's still going to be processing video and I'm still going to be processing photos, but we've got a team to support us this year that's going to be doing that while we're out getting more content. So it's going to be nice to be able to, while we're there for work and we are working hard, I'm curious to see what the Fitbit's going to say this year, because there's a lot of work that's there's a lot of walking. Although Vegas is a bit easier to navigate than that fucking hallway that we had in New Orleans. But no, it's going to be nice to be able to enjoy the town that we're in. I mean, that's part of the reason that you go is to it's not a vacation by any means, but you know, from 6 p.m. to midnight, 7 to midnight, like we're out doing what we want to do, which is nice. So
I'm going to be splitting sevens all over the place.
I don't really envision myself doing a lot of gambling.
You know, I got to drop a couple ducats on a couple
splitting
slots.
Sevens?
Do you not remember that when we were at the Stratosphere and you and I went, we got some whiskey, we got a little lit.
And we were just fucking around, maybe.
I was at the table and I said, yeah, I'll split those. And she goes, splitting sevens. And you're like, do you have to yell that? Is that a part of what you have to do? Or are you doing that because he's a fucking idiot? And she goes, little column A, little column B. And she were like, yes. Yeah, you were like doubled over. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I have $10 on the table. I could care less. I couldn't care less. I was just fucking around and having fun with it. But, you know, I like to, you know, I'm not a hardcore gambler, but I'm in Vegas. I'm going to drop a couple bucks in a slot machine and a Monopoly slot machine. I'm going to drop a couple bucks at a blackjack table. I don't really care. It's just, you know, whatever. It's Vegas.
Yeah. The nice thing is when you accidentally hit and then you pay for dinner that
that'll happen.
What I'm looking forward to.
That'll happen.
Looking forward to.
Yeah.
On that note, I've got family in the living room, so I got to bounce, but, we're going to have to pre-record. Don't know what our next show is going to be, but it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And so, I kind of like this interface now. This new interface is kind of cool.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see what the video quality and audio quality compares to Hangouts after I've had a chance to dissect it. But, I like the fact that our audience can interact. I like that it's, presumably a little easier to log in, although we had some challenges today with Facebook logins. I think that's just a temporary issue, but, you know, remains to be seen whether this is the platform going forward, but it doesn't seem bad so far.
Yeah, anybody who had problems logging in through Facebook, I've had the same issue. So, yeah, for whatever reason, it just wasn't working.
All right, so thanks very much for everyone who tuned in live to Sharing Our Pairings. We'll be back next week at a regular time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be a pre-record, but same good quality show. Make sure to tune in tomorrow night through CigarFederation.com to listen to Villiger. It's going to be a good show. It'll be interesting. It'll be engaging. Get questions in. It'll be a good time. And as we say in Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.